And thrilled to be your host again today. Yes, get ready for more goodness coming your way. You know, our commitment to bring you value, to help you make your life sparkle better and better, to overcome issues and problems, and to do it so that when you get this handled, you call back and you say,
"That was easy."
Yes, we're doing easy. And today, oh, wonderful, wonderful. Talk about some turnarounds. There is a saying, and you may have heard this, or you may have even said it yourself, if you felt like, oh, what a mess, my life's a mess, I'm a mess. Well, we have a guest today who exclaims, "I am not a mess." And that's what Hillary Rubin is saying about herself and about the rest of us. And she is living proof that no matter what your diagnosis, you can pull through and discover the greatness in you. Now, Hillary has become a certified yoga teacher with a special form of yoga that she'll explain, and she's taught both nationally and internationally and knows firsthand the empowering influence of a dedicated yoga practice. How? Well, she was diagnosed with MS, multiple sclerosis, in 1996, and she realized that through discipline, a healthy lifestyle, and a commitment to her personal evolution, she could truly listen to learn, to listen and have her body tell her and to discover her path to heal. And with a focus on the therapeutic benefits of yoga, Hillary helps others to evolve in their yoga practice by using, I think it's Anusara yoga, and she's going to help us in a moment. Huh?
It's Anusara.
Anusara. See, thank you. That was a magical voice. It could have been Hillary's. We'll know in a moment. And she's going to help us learn about that. So, yes, the cat's out of the bag. Hillary, come on in and say hello.
Hello.
All right. Well, now, tell me this. I gotta ask you, I am not a mess, okay? I mean, I like saying that, and that's your theme. Now, how did it first come into existence?
Well, basically, for me, it was something that I said in 1996, and before I was diagnosed with MS, living in New York and working in the fashion industry, I was focusing on the outside of my body when I was working for Prada, a very top fashion house, and everything else was crumbling inside, and from not taking care of myself and a pretty troubled upbringing, things were just falling apart, and it didn't matter what was on the outside. And then I realized, you know, that I was a mess, and then I was diagnosed with MS, which it's not that it was instant, you know. Yes, words are very powerful, and a lot of people will say, well, with this quantum or power of word, you know, I'm not a mess has this negative in it. And it isn't even a statement I use so much. It was something that it was a play on words that came to me when I started writing a book. And the book was I'm Not a Mess, You're Not Your Diagnosis. And the book got put to the side because I was invited to go on a yoga tour to five cities. And I realized, well, why don't I do a yoga DVD, because I'm going on a yoga tour, because the book does take more time, and it's you against you. With the DVD, it was a collaborative effort, and it was something that was a natural progression from already having yoga podcasts. And I figured, okay, let's use this as a discipline and a foundation, because essentially that's what the yoga was for me. I found yoga at the same time that I was diagnosed and didn't even realize that both of them were blessings. In time, over studies, they did both become that. And so right now we began a new company under the I Am Not a Mess. And we talk about embracing, empowering, and evolving. And it's really dedicated to help individuals who are diagnosed with MS, which is a large number of women, and other autoimmune diseases, embrace their diagnosis and learn valuable tools to help them live the best life possible, as I have, and evolving beyond the initial challenge of the diagnosis.
Ah, wow. So with that as a focus, I'm just wondering about the size of the number of people with MS, and I guess there's probably some others that would be considered the autoimmune diseases, that if you could share a little bit of that with us.
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting when we get to statistics and numbers, and everyone today turns to the Internet, and we turn to different people and different organizations that do test groups and studies. But I find that they have a tendency of not really being the best documented. What I've learned is 1 in 12 individuals are living with autoimmune diseases. And
wow.
So that's a large number.
Yes.
That's large,
wow, that's
large,
like,
number.
About 8% of the population.
Yeah, it's pretty big. You know, it's definitely pretty big considering, you know, let's say in comparison, cancer affects up to 9 million and heart disease is 22 million. So right now they have, it's about 23.5 million Americans suffer from autoimmune diseases. And there's anywhere from 80 to 100 that are under this classification. And so what we see in America, say the MS Society has said it's about 500,000 are affected with multiple sclerosis, with about, I believe, 200 a week that are diagnosed. But again, with most Americans, or let's say a lot of Americans that don't have health insurance, how are they really able to keep these statistics correct? Because many people that are living without health insurance aren't getting diagnosed. So they're living with autoimmune diseases and just trying, you know, figure out how to, you know, whatever it is. You know, they might not even be diagnosed. So it's a large group of our population, and it comes from all different levels. You know, it's candida. A lot of people will believe, also one of my mentors and advisors, Anne Baroque, who has a whole book on healing yourself with MS, sees the whole candida connection with it. Sometimes it's been emotional, and your upbringing, which was a big for me, was how my upbringing was. And it could be genetic. And it does affect women more than men. It can also be environmental. We look at what's going on with our environment, and the earth is sick. There's a lot of different aspects that can affect this, which can be really daunting and make you afraid when you are met with a diagnosis. You can feel like you're put in a prison. You know, you don't know what it is.
Now, when you got your diagnosis, was there much hope given, or how did that get handled?
Well, in 1996, when I was experiencing numbness, at the time, I don't remember if I had health insurance, or I did have health insurance, but there were all these weird things that were going on of where I could go and not go, and I experienced numbness. And I didn't really know what it was. I was having chiropractic work done, so we thought it might have been a nerve thing. But then it didn't go away, and it spread onto the left side of my body. And what happened was, basically, is I went to a spinal surgeon who said, you didn't have it, which, you know, maybe he's right. But basically, when I sat in the doctor's office, and they said, after I had an MRI, and they said, okay, well, 99% we're going to say you have, which I don't ever say I have. I always say I was diagnosed with, so I turned that around. You know, they said 99% you have this, and you want to have a spinal tap. And at that moment, I said no. And that's when I had a glimpse of hope. That was my hope. It was me being able to say, no, I'm not going to do that. And doctors then did not paint a very good future for me. Nor was interested into diet connection or mind-body connection. They were very clinical and very dry, which is okay. But for me, I don't need to be told. You know, it was not a positive experience, and I really was angry. I was really, really angry and afraid.
Ah, okay, because that's what I was suspecting. It might be in that category of the fear and then some of the anger because of not being treated. I mean, just kind of, you know, here, matter of fact, oh, you've got this. Well, have a nice day. Bye-bye. And your insurance will cover the bill. Now, obviously, you've done some things. So from that place, what helped you to begin that transformational process?
For me, you know, I did go on medication because in some sense, I will say that whatever you do choose to do, because I don't say there's one way to do any of this, what you believe in is powerful, and the placebo effect is powerful. And medication, though, has a lot of side effects, and that was the only thing that was scary for me. So what I first did was I said, okay, I'm going to try this medication, and at the same time, I'm going to practice yoga, because yoga literally gave me an opportunity to accept and embrace, that's where the embrace comes from our company and where we stand, to embrace what was going on without blaming anyone. I mean, it went over time through journaling, through reading self-help books, through really just being so fired up to learn, you know, what the mind-body connection was. That was really important for me. Something deep inside of me was calling to learn more about food, and I immediately quit smoking cigarettes and drinking and, you know, anything that was going to be blurring me or poisonous for my body, I stopped participating in because I realized that my body was poisoned. And and it was just an innate thing. And at that time, I went to health food stores. There weren't this movement. It was very little. It was finding Louise Hay's book and looking into that, the metaphysical connection, but also looking at diet and looking at, yes, I had a huge sugar addiction, and I just had to change things and eat well and start to bring the mind and the body together and understand what that was, understand my thinking processes. Well, did I feel bad about myself? I didn't feel good enough. I felt like a failure, and I drew back into my past and looked at everything, not in a bad way of criticizing anyone or blaming anyone, because blaming doesn't heal. It just pushes us further away from our truth. And so I just said, okay, I'm going to go on this journey. I'm going to find the ticket, and the ticket is me giving myself permission to ask questions and explore. And it was so invigorating in the face of fear. It really, really gave me so much. And then learning yoga and breathing and realizing that the body, my body wasn't bad. It was, you know, more of my body was functioning than wasn't. And so I had to just really shift the way I looked at the world and changed the glasses. And again, you know, it was 96, so it's 12 years today. So it was it's a long process, but, you know, what else are you going to do while you're alive? You might as well experiment. And there's so much information out there now and so much that I'm offering that wasn't, say, packaged in a way to support those who are in a similar situation.
Yeah, now, one of the things, and I don't know if this is relevant or not, because there's so much I want to talk to you about, but I'm just kind of reviewing in my mind that here you were involved in the fashion industry, very much focused on the exterior, you and the people that you were going around with. You mentioned smoking, drinking, you didn't mention drugs, but that ties in sometimes, and so here you are, you're getting this diagnosis, and one of the key things here that I think is a gem for myself and the listeners here today is about what helped you, because in the face of the people that you were hanging out with, you weren't hanging out with folks that were saying, well, turn to the inside. You were hanging out with people that were focused on their looks, their careers, and they were more than happy to poison their bodies because that was some of their path to having fun or to turning off some pain, whatever it was. And this was a lot of the group that you were interacting with. So, I mean, to make that change and to be able to then come to a place of I'm not going to poison my body and I'm going to go on this exploration, And to do that from a place of caring, no guilt, shame, or blame, I mean, that seems like a huge turnaround moment.
Yeah, it was. And I would say the first place that that happened was stepping into my first yoga class. People that, if you think of it, if you go to yoga, you go to Tai Chi, you go to a meditation class, you turn to spiritual experiences. And the interesting thing was there were very much people doing a lot of cocaine and a lot of drugs and also weren't very loving and caring. I mean, I tried to get into those circles, but I never did cocaine. Okay, I never did it. And I would try to become friendly with people like that, and they always would sting you, and they would always sting me. So it was okay because I wasn't really welcomed into those circles. And so for me, I found other circles that were yoga or at the health food stores. I would just naturally, I would talk to people to ask questions. And, you know, it was interesting because one of my friends who was a photographer actually was in meditation and spirituality, and she was a student of Guzmai, who is the Siddha Foundation up in South Fallsburg, and she actually brought me up there. And so I have to say, if we pay attention to who's around us and we really open up, that means we really surrender and we ask for the guidance. Because I would ask, like I would be afraid, but at the same time, and I didn't even know I was doing it, was I would say, I really just want people who are going to help me, and they would show up. And I know that sounds like, it's so much that people talk about today, and it's scary because it takes you to trust. And I started to let go of relationships, and I started to make new relationships and explore with meditation, and I just really, even the self-help books became my teachers. Because I could learn about their story. If you read about Siddhartha, if you even read the Bible, you see that people suffered, but then through their suffering, there was a lot of lessons that were learned, and there was so much light that came about from that. And it's not, I'll just say that I just kept following what would show up. And if something was, you know, think about it. You know, drugs aren't just something you smoke or take. People can be like that too. You know, it's energy. And so I just really walked into other communities. And, you know, the interesting thing was I also went to some support groups. And I went to, you know, MS support groups. And I went to this meeting with the pharmaceutical company because they would have free breakfast. I mean, I was living in New York supporting myself. So you'd be like, oh, there's a free breakfast. So I went. And I was so disappointed because there was no mind-body connection. There was no responsibility in the sense of saying, well, maybe there's something more to this disease or discord, or maybe this is an answer for me to be more. And so I always had a yearning to be an inspiration. I thought it was going to be through fashion. I didn't know it was going to be this way. But it's amazing what we ask for and what shows up, and we don't really know what it's going to look like. And so I guess I just feel really grateful because through learning yoga philosophy, it's not so much just the physical practice of yoga, but learning philosophy got me to ask the deeper questions. And that's what I guess has helped me to heal so much, is just asking that question, not like why me in a way of being a victim, but kind of like, well, why me and how could this be a good thing? How can I turn this around? So the other areas that I went to the support group and everyone was just complaining. And I just was like, listen, I feel that this happened because there's a blessing. There's something good here. And the woman who was leading the group stood up and started yelling at me, literally yelling at me saying, well, you know, that I was completely out of my mind and that nobody here did anything to deserve this, which is not what I said. And I just went, okay, you know what, my welcoming is no longer. And I just went my own way. And I met different, and one of the books that was given to me from a woman who was diagnosed with lupus, who was really, you know, she told me to go get acupuncture. So I did acupuncture weekly with my medication, which helped me to reduce the side effects in probably pretty much altogether. So I didn't have to take Advil or do some other things. And she gave me a book by Joan Borsenko, Pocketful of Miracles. And it was like an everyday contemplation. And so the interesting thing is there are people around to help us. And if we stop and we look, whether you pick up Oprah's magazine or you, I don't know, you know, you're listening to this radio show, there are different communities and different teachers, right? Because your diagnosis is a teacher, essentially, right? A teacher doesn't, sometimes your teachers aren't always loving, but they're, some of your greatest teachers were very tough on you. But they're the ones that want us to be more than we might want to be. And so that's kind of how I look at this. And how I looked at it was I just decided that, and it's a decision. You make a decision to be a victim, or you make a decision to be a one that's on a quest because you want to devour information. It doesn't mean you're not going to be afraid. It doesn't mean that it's not going to be a challenge.
Oh.
But it means that you're putting effort in a direction for your own wellness. And I
wow.
believe that when you do that, you are going to be supported by the universe. And you're going to be supported. And that's scary for a lot of people. And I told
yeah.
them that.
Oh, wow. Talk about amazing. I love the way you were making mention of when something happens to us, like a diagnosis of a big disease or some form of bad news, like you're pointing out, there's the choice that's available of taking a path of a victim and saying, why me? And then you chose a path that said more of what is the way to my greater health? What is the blessing in this event? And by doing that, you let go of being a victim, it sounds like, and started to open up to these possibilities. And apparently you got a wonderful reception at the yoga class that you started taking and some other places, and were willing to walk away if you weren't getting a caring, warm reception.
I just know that I did it. I look back on it, and I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
It definitely is pretty cool. And, you know, just want to make a note on the yoga is, for me, yoga is my foundation and how I learned discipline. And being a typical American kid, I didn't really have any discipline. I find that's something that lacks in our culture. Media affects it. Everything affects us to really be focused. And yoga gave me something to focus with my mind and my breath. And, you know, for some people, they're like, wait a minute, what about, I don't want to do yoga. And, you know, whether it's anything that's mind and body connection. And what I learned is, and again, the philosophy, but when you heat your body up, at least just taking a long walk, you take a 20-minute walk every day, you know, and you set an intention for that walk, it's going to start to shift you and open you up. And you create something you do in a discipline for good, and it's amazing how that helps you when you then decide, I'm not going to drink Coca-Cola. I'm not going to drink this. I'm going to stop smoking. You've already built a muscle that is discipline. That is, I matter, and I'm going to do something that is beneficial for me, and you created a pattern. Because it's the interesting thing is we have to create patterns, because we have old patterns that are like scars. Think of multiple sclerosis as multiple scars, okay? That's what it translates to. And so if we have to shift the grooves of our behavior, okay, that means it takes time to do that. Something like yoga or Tai Chi or whatever physical practice you do regularly starts to change the body. I mean, yoga primarily is mind-body connection, so it really shifts the synapses, and it really changes you and opens you energetically. There's more energy flow, and there's a healing potential that is beyond, which is why I stepped forth and said, you know, I'm going to create this business, and we're gonna build the foundation, you know, that the yoga is there, but there is so much more, right? There's so much my whole path than yoga, but the yoga was the foundation, right? That's what everything stands on.
Wow, and I like the way you were talking about that direction, that building the discipline, and just by doing yoga, you were not only doing something that's healthy, but you were doing different things than you were typically doing with your body. So you were making some changes, and I'm wondering if it's just some of the changes with the physical form of yoga, of moving in different ways. Do you think that helped you any to make some breakthroughs mentally or emotionally?
Yeah, it definitely did. I could do a lot more than I thought, you know, and I build strength and muscles, and I was able to really surprise myself and again see that there was more that was working. I was focusing on what was working than what wasn't. And just allow things to be. So for me, it taught me how to embrace any moment to be in the moment, that everything in that moment was fine. And then it empowered me because it gave me ways to be more of myself. And that's where the evolution comes, is that the evolution is constant. We don't become something else. It's not about changing. It's about evolving. And that, to me, it was huge, huge. And so I became so passionate, that it just I wanted to learn about the culture and I wanted to learn about the all diet, and it led me to Ayurveda, which is the medical aspect of, say, in the yoga tradition or even in India. And I just got to learn more deeply about the different aspects of healing beyond what we use as Western medicine. And again, Western medicine has its place. But when we educate ourselves, we empower ourselves. And that's what the yoga really shows me, is the more we educate and we're not in the dark, we ask the questions of our practitioners and our doctors, and we take our life in our hands, not becoming the doctor and not self-diagnosing, but listening to the wisdom and the intelligence that's in every individual. And now that's scary because yoga taught me in so many ways. I started to realize that my brain was functioning in the way that I was raised by people who didn't support me. We have people that raise us sometimes that don't support us, and they put us down because they've been put down. And so I realized, wait a minute, what are these voices in my head? You know, if I fall out of a pose, why am I going, well, you failed? Like, what's that? Who's that voice? And so the exploration of yoga, it's so much about intimacy with the self, but so is healing. Any process of wanting to become healthy or whole or well and come back to the truth is going to take you through a lot of different roads, and you're going to go into the thickest. So yoga really just opened up a world within myself that meditation did as well. Meditation was huge, was a huge process for me. And then understanding that it didn't have to be so rigid, and it didn't have to be something I had to be good at either. That's the same thing with yoga. It's like, because we put so much pressure on ourselves, especially when individuals are diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. A big thing that is found, that one of my friends and colleagues has found, is that they feel that they're not enough and they're overachievers. It's just a personality. And they're extremely bright individuals. And so they really want to do good. And so that shows up. And you start to see in a practice of yoga what your habits are. But again, I just want to say, because some people are turned off by yoga. They're like, I don't want to do that. I would say Tai Chi. I would say finding, Qigong. Finding something that's mind-body connection is just incredible. And it just really can open you. For me, it was yoga, right? And so that's what I know. But then there's some people who experience some numbness or they can't move their legs. So there's options to do chair yoga. There's just options to stretch the body to move the stagnant energy. And so stagnant energy is in our minds, it's in our physical bodies, and it causes discord or dis-ease. And we have to move that stuff around. You know, it's like cleaning your house.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's amazing. I spent some time recently doing some releasing from my garage. And making some room, and oh my goodness, what a feeling of exhilaration as there was more space and letting go of some things and tidying up. It was like, oh my goodness, and I could see where that, you think that's beneficial in other ways?
Oh yeah, I just did the same thing. I just had an organizer come in. So even earlier this morning before we had a conversation, I organized one of my drawers and some of the things is this, is that our minds and our bodies, you know, going to clean out your closet, going to clean out your kitchen, and it's getting rid of clutter. Everything affects everything. I mean, that's just how it goes. And so, you know, if you're not wanting to deal with the clutter in your mind or the clutter in your health, most likely you're going to have clutter in your house. Start somewhere and, you know, start to create space. Which is part of health, you know, it is definitely is that. And that, to me, It's how people can start to become transformed, because through I Am Not a Mess, we're going to provide a lot of support for individuals who are diagnosed with MS or autoimmune diseases. And these are different examples that people will be doing, is going, okay, accepting your obstacles. Like, your obstacle could be you're a clutter bug. It doesn't have to necessarily be specific to what is there, because, again, the clutter bug, you know, it's like holding on and not letting go. And you know, we hold on and not let go, and it's wanting to let go of things. So, and even when you go through stuff, you start to see your past. I mean, one of the things we offer, a practice that we'll be doing, that we'll be offering through my book, is going to be how to make your past a map for a greater future. Like, how to map out all the clutter that is in your mind, writing it out, situations, and go, wait a minute, there might be something good in here. Because, you know, when you clean out, you might have found something when you were cleaning out your garage you didn't know was there, and you could have recycled something or repurposed something that might have really made your life more beneficial.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'd wondered where the dog had gone, and, you know, just kidding.
Oh.
Didn't lose the dog. But one of the things that's so exciting, there's that Footprints poem that some of you may have heard of. Essentially, the idea that spirit is always there for us. And what I love about your I'm Not a Mess Foundation and your website, www.iamnotamess.com, I want to encourage people to go there and visit, is that when we're making this shift, if we're letting go of whatever it is, some form of clutter or something that isn't serving us, there can be that fear. Well, what happens when I let go of that? And what I love is that, if I'm hearing you correctly, you are there and your foundation is there to support people to say it's safe to let go. We've done it. We're feeling better, and we're here to help you to have a path where you're going to be cared for and supported on your journey.
Yeah, I mean, we're creating a business outside of it being a foundation. I mean, we will eventually, there's some things I want to do down the road, but right now, as the website is being built and we're building resources, and there's going to be a ton of resources, so it's all being created for you, listeners, and for individuals. Right now, what I would say immediately, if you're going, well, what could I do right now, is getting the yoga DVD. The DVD is incredible. We produced it. We put everything in it we wanted. It's my heart. It is a practice that anyone can do pretty much. Unless you are bedridden, you'll be able to do some of the breathing and the relaxation. I did some audio files. You also get to meet certain individuals that are just dealing with life. So I don't want to single people out either, but feel that you are part of something greater. I do chair yoga in there. We do breathing. How about just learning how to connect to your natural breath? So we did this DVD, and that's there, and we're working on the next two. And then I'm going to work on a couple teleseminars and getting people out there. The book is in process, so there's going to be tons of processes in the companion guide that I'm creating, as well as retreats and workshops. So everything is growing, and even being invited, doing keynote speaking, which I was invited for a mind-body doctor's retreat next year, and start talking about this stuff, getting the medical community to embrace this too. So that's really it, is that we want to be there as the leader to help support through community and through teleseminars, and just doing it on your own time where you can educate and even have a 30-day transformation program that you call in, and every day you get that little taste to give you something to do every day along the way. And so I just want to give what I created and the things that I did. One of the things, though, I just want to offer right away to listeners is getting a journal and starting to write down everything you're grateful for, right? Everything that's working, everything you love, you know, right away. And, you know, looking at all of that. And then aside of that, making a commitment, like writing a commitment that I commit to be healthy, mind, body, and spirit, in all of my relationships, and writing down the commitments and the gratitude, and then by taking that promise and being grateful for what is already there, you shift. Then it's, what's the one thing you could change? Are you eating McDonald's? You can stop. You know, literally just going, I'm not going to eat processed fast food. You know, I'm not going to drink soda or even dairy. Dairy is one of the worst things. You know, diet was huge for me. So that's where it's going, well, how are we going to do that? And so it's finding one thing. So if you start yoga, you get that discipline. You start Qigong, you start something that you can do that you enjoy, whether it's a five-minute walk even, that you do regularly. And then it's going, okay, what can I change that I'm putting in my mouth that makes a difference? And so we're really excited because we're going to be exposing a lot of wonderful healers, and there's going to be different calls that you can tune into, and just gaining the resources so you can empower yourself, empowering yourself, and then knowing what steps to take. Because the evolution is, it's going to be there as long as you're in the body. And that's something that I've embraced is, you know, I know that there's this diagnosis, but it's keeping me passionate because I want to help people.
Mm. Wow. Now, your DVD, you said that's basically for just a whole wide range of people.
Well, the DVD, basically, what it is this. It's, yeah, of course, anyone can do it. It is physically able pretty much because it's fairly basic. And I teach you how to work. The philosophy behind it is going to be that using your challenge, your disease, your discord, your situation as a platform for wellness. And that's what we created. And so there is there's a philosophical background to all of that with uplifting, inspiring messages so you feel you're part of a group. You're not alone. And then those of you that want to be alone, I have yoga podcasts, and there's a lot of people that have been doing that, which is also can be found through iamnotamess.com. But I would say that if you are sitting there, you know someone, or you are that one that is living and experiencing a diagnosis of multiple sclerosis, lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, or any of those that are out there, or even someone who's recently diagnosed with cancer, just diagnosis itself. But we are focused on, you know, first just really getting that, getting the group that is dealing with MS and then moving from there. So, you know, it's everything is for everybody, but some people don't choose to do it.
Yes. It's important. Now, when you were making some of your progress, and we talked about some clutters, making some changes, when we have what appears to be a very large hill to climb, a big diagnosis, overwhelmed in some way, mentally, physically, emotionally, financially, whatever. What I'm curious about is, as we make little pieces of progress, I don't know, you know, you said the gratitude journal type of a thing. When a piece of progress happens, how did you handle that? Was there any celebration, or did you wait till the end of the day? I'd like to kind of get that clue, because we're here that celebrating is important, but I didn't know how you utilized that in your work.
Well, there's a couple ways. The thing that I do is, at the end of the day, I will write down 5 to 10 things that I've accomplished. Right? Just to go, what did I do today? You know, oh, wow, I did this, I did this, I did this. You know, whatever that was, and I would write that down. Now, for me to celebrate, it might be calling up a friend and having an accountability buddy, someone that you know that is supporting me along the way. Call them up and share with them, and in my celebration, saying, "Hey, can you have some time and I can share with you?" And celebrating yourself, feeling good, and saying, "Listen, you know what I did today? I did yoga. You know, I'm on my 10th day of not smoking cigarettes." You know, hey, and then from there, with the interesting thing is then spirit will open up. Let's go to a movie. You want to come with me and celebrate with me? So celebrating by ourselves can be really great, but it can also be awkward. And so having someone that is supporting you along the way and saying, hey, let's go to a movie. So treating yourself to something that you would want to do. So it's keeping, you know, excuse me, like a little fun, say 10% of your income as a play, as a celebration, you know, celebration spending. And you go buy that thing you really love. You know, you go treat yourself. Get the book. You know, not necessarily treating yourself to the McDonald's. You know, but it's finding things that you take delight in. You know, maybe it's taking a day off and creating something that I did that was really, I really loved is I loved getting massages or getting body work. So there were ways that I would just do something going, you know, I'm going to take, I have an extra, a sick day or a regular day, whatever. I have a personal day. That's what they call them now. I'm going to take a personal day off, have a long weekend. I really did good this weekend, and I'm going to create a spa weekend for myself. And I would come home, and I would do that. I would have my journal. I would have candles. I would draw myself a bath. I would make sure that I have good food, and then just really take that time if there was a certain documentary or movie or something I wanted to watch. So I would kind of create something, and I was living alone, for myself, you know, or so that's something that's really, really wonderful to do, because a big thing is we have to nurture ourselves. Nurturing is a celebration. It is a good thing, and creating rituals. Rituals, awesome. And so that's one thing that I would do, because it's not as costly. And if you could support yourself and you have the finances, then go on a weekend to a spa. You know, go do the things you really want to do, and start to feel that you deserve them. And that's where we start to shift, is going, I'm deserving of this, this item that I'm going to purchase for myself, or this place where I'm going to go. Or you're like, you know, I'm going to take myself to lunch to, you know, and I'm going to be really mindful with how I do it. Because the other, you know, it's maybe go to lunch and go to a museum. I think, to me, the celebration is doing something you really want to do, you really love to do, and seeing that you're worthy of that. Because, to me, a lot of the times people celebrate in ways that, you know, let's get really drunk or let's really do this, and it's a disconnect. And I'm inviting people to get really deep into this gift of embodiment and the gift of being alive, so that every day you're celebrating, that you're celebrating when you're talking on the phone, that people just want to be around you. And then they don't get afraid, because when you, the thing on the other side of that is, when you're newly diagnosed, you're down in the dump. You can be. And, you know, and then it can pull a lot of people with you, or people always want to ask you, you know, are you feeling okay? And that's something that you're like, yeah, are you? You know, everyone has something. So that, that's in celebrating. You know, I mean, anyone that's listening, you can, you know, post. If you can find me in Facebook as well. I'm in Facebook. And if you just type in Hillary Rubin, I pop up. I'm in Los Angeles. And you can even list something on my Facebook page if you wish. If you have any other further questions, or if you do something and you want some ideas for celebration, that's a way I can get in touch with you. Or just sign up for my newsletter as well, because these are all ways that, all things that I'll be addressing.
Oh, wonderful. And I want to let the listeners know the lines are open. If there's someone that would like to ask Hillary a question, whatever your experience, it could be your personal experience or for a family member or a friend, you can call us toll-free in the U.S. at 877-876-5227. Or if you're in the U.S. and Canada, there's a line that's toll-free, 888-815-9756. And outside of those areas, you can call in at 530-876-3222. And Hillary is sharing with us on Advanced Living Radio. We are so happy and delighted and thankful to AdvancedLiving.com, who is sponsoring the program, and invite you to take a look at AdvancedLiving.com and the Comfort Clock and some of the ways that we help reduce stress. Now, beloved listeners, let's get back with Hillary and find out more about, we have Facebook, we have her website, IamNotAMess.com, and a newsletter to sign up for. Well, Hillary, this is growing beautifully.
Thank you so much. It's a lot of work, but I'm really happy to do it.
Yes, and tell me, you've worked with some people. I'm wondering if you'd be okay with sharing, without, of course, you know, letting, changing the names to protect the people, but are there some stories that you could share about how working with you is helping others?
Well, yeah, I've worked with many, many people. I was working with, actually, Reverend Michael from Agape and Ricky Byers, back with his wife, and we've been working together a few years, and that's been really great. I've been teaching them and also studying the philosophy through Agape, a lot of that teaching, so it's gone both ways, and even teaching through that community. So working with them has helped them a lot, just to be able to give so much that they do, and dealing with any physical distress or any physical ailments that they're dealing with, to be able to have them to perform and get wonderful feedback. And I've also, you know, there's many other celebrities and people that I work with, and yeah, you know, I mean, I don't want to get into the whole list of it, and really, it's everyday, you know, people, I have to say, is really what makes a huge difference. I work with a lot of people who have been diagnosed with autoimmune diseases, and they really start to shift because they start to realize that, wow, I can change the way my mind is and I can change the way my diet is through the yoga. I've worked with Sarah Gilbert, who's an actress that was on Roseanne and ER, and a gentleman, Christian Camargo, who was on Dexter. Yeah, a lot of them, you know, people just have physical aches and pains through yoga. So that definitely has helped them through my classes and through privately working with them.
Oh.
So that's what we've done with the yoga. And now, as we're shifting into this other group, it's going to be really interesting to see where the calls and where the other products go, you know, to really expand on this.
Yes. Well, yeah. It's wonderful now. Just from listening to you, it's like I feel like you could speak for 2 or 3 hours with all the stories and things. And I'm just wondering, there's got to be some people out there that are going to want to have you as a keynote speaker to come and talk to their group. Can you talk about some of the topics that you'd speak on and how to get in touch with you for that?
Sure. Well, one of the main things is embracing your disease and accepting your disease, empowering by learning the tools and different ways of questioning and going through the process and the evolution. That's definitely a big theme for us, you know, and bringing in those ideas and just exploring where we are and how we can be okay with that and content, and then how do we take strides from that. So it's really making, you know, pearls from our perils, shifting that.
From our perils?
Yes.
That's wonderful.
Yes, turning perils into pearls, which is really what I was taught to do and I want to help. Also talking about seeing the disease as an invitation to heal, and also how to make your past a map for a greater future, and also creating that future, you know, embracing it and growing from there. Accepting, loving, and embracing our journey, and then what is a journey, and where do I get the ticket? learning how to honor your process.
Oh, Hillary, we may have a caller. Can you hang on in there? Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Good, and you?
I'm wonderful, thank you.
You have a question for Hillary?
I have. I go to yoga, and I know the benefits of it, but I'm calling because a friend of mine whose mother has multiple sclerosis, we've been trying to get her to go, but she's very resistant, and I'm not sure if it's a fear thing or, you know, it's just because it's something foreign to her, but what if someone didn't want to go to yoga, what is something that Hillary would suggest she do?
Yes, Hillary?
Wow, that's really cool. I mean, it's interesting because age is always going to be a different thing. And I'm guessing, how old is your friend's mother, if I may ask?
She's 65, I believe.
Yeah. Okay. So fear is going to definitely come up as we get older to do new things. And one of my suggestions would definitely be is obviously the yoga DVD, because I have that, and there's a chair yoga section. And even for your friend, whoever is wanting her mother to go, to do a little research on chair yoga and sit with her in the chair and just starting to stretch and move. Because the thing that it's also going to be important is finding yoga that's going to work with someone that's going to be either restorative yoga, or there's going to be yoga that's going to be slow enough for someone that is older and might, depending on if she is progressive MS, or which is, it may be on a more progressive level, that it's really just going to be breathing and moving in a chair. It might not be what the yoga is that I do or what you do, but it's finding a way to help her stretch and move. And there is information that's out there to doing chair yoga, and having her breath, just breathing and moving, definitely.
Thank you.
While sitting in a chair. That would be my advice with that. And having your friends accompany her mother, I think, is always helpful. And then even, you know, if there's any instructors, if they can afford it, or you find a local instructor that's there, in that they can do a private session, and if there's financial issues, and maybe a group of the family could get together and everyone pitches in and someone comes to the house that is qualified that can help her do some chair yoga, and breathing and moving might be also very beneficial.
Okay, great. I'll let her know.
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, well, that was beautiful. Now, it's prompting me, Hillary, to query. You mentioned chair yoga. If someone is just feeling in the dumps, or they're so weak, and they basically aren't able to get out of bed. I didn't know if there was any kind of simple breathing techniques or even some simple movements while someone's in bed that can begin the process.
Well, of course they can begin the process, and a lot of the stuff is visual. You know, I mean, you're just like visually seeing yourself active again. But it's moving your hands and your feet and breathing deeply. It's, if they can move their arms, bringing one hand on their chest, one, let's say the left hand on their heart, the right hand on their belly, and breathing, just breathing that I'm healing with every breath, you know, and just really getting into, you know, inhaling, I am healthy, exhaling, I am whole, and just breathing deeply. This calms the nervous system, will definitely be helpful. And if somebody is fully in the bed, you know, at that point, then it is going to be some family members or some people around them to start to look at the diet and start to look at some other things that they can do. And there are treatments, and there are other alternative things that you can take that actually can help you from going from that state and growing, you know, going from the state of being bedridden and walking again, as we have seen in some of the movies that are out there. The Secret, you know, and visualizing yourself and the person, and the will is going to be so important. If someone is laying in a bed and doesn't really want to ever get up out of that bed, you know, that's if they're not going to. But if that person has a will and they want that, I do think that the possibilities are much greater.
Okay, so inspiring someone to get a visualization or the thoughts about them being healthier as well as it sounds like.
I would say, but also visualize. Like say someone's laying in a bed and they do put in a yoga DVD and they do watch that are healthy and physical, and they can start seeing these images and seeing themselves in those images. So they start to inspire, right? And then if they visualize in the mind and they start visualizing, I'm stretching and I'm moving and they see it, the body doesn't know the difference.
Oh.
The subconscious mind does not know what is real or isn't real, and do we either. But let's just say that the subconscious mind can have an experience, and the body can actually feel, and it tells the body that it's really happening. So that would be my advice, you know, in that way. And, again, it's a willingness and having a support of people around. But, again, if someone says no, they have every right to say no.
Yes. Okay.
You know, that's definitely, you know, it's an individual path and it's an individual journey, and it's up to that person to want to do it.
Ah, wow. So this is wonderful because, you know, they can go, you know, of course, and get the DVD, and I know you'll be offering more and more things. And what I just heard is that even if they just take out of a day 30 seconds and imagine something better, that is going to be a positive and something that they could celebrate. They may still have, as we, you know, personal clutter down in the dumps, you name it. The dumps, clutter, they go together. So just that one little thing of a brief visualization, and then to build some momentum into moving in bed, breathing, noticing conscious breathing, the chair, and then into more and more vigorous type of yoga over time.
Possibly or not. And again, I mean, I'm an advocate for health and wellness, and integrative is just, you know, on the other side of it is, what are you eating? You know, is it a candida diet that you're going to have to do? Do you get off heavy processed foods and sugars and sodas and smoking? Seriously, you know what I mean? It's like that stuff is super important. And so it's getting away from those poisons and detoxifying and cleansing out like an old car. Think about a car that can't move. What do? You take out the engine and you do all this body work, and inside and out, everything gets done, and the car works again.
And you're living proof, and others, that no matter what your age, you can still rejuvenate.
You definitely can, and they have proved that again and again in science, which is awesome. You know, it's really, really awesome, because then the medical world it can't do anything. They're like, okay, it's been proven, now let's see how do we do that. And so, you know, the thing is this, is that, and I think is very important, because for me, you know, what I would like to see is my impact of my work in the world, say in the next 10 years, is going to be that I would love to see the shift of those that get diagnosed are able to not get upset about it. That they can just go, okay, wow, I can really pay attention. And then also the numbers of the diagnosis go down, you know, because people start being more conscious and aware. And so is that when someone says, yeah, I know someone who was recently diagnosed and they're seeing the good and the blessings in it, that means my work was done.
That's wonderful. We could still keep talking, and unfortunately, we've come to the end of our time together on the program. But I know there's so much more that we'll be sharing. Hillary, I just want to thank you for taking time from your busy schedule to be on today and share so much with us.
Thank you so much. It's really a blessing, Ken. I appreciate being able to have the time to just offer from my own experience to help others.
Oh, it's wonderful. Well, we'll be staying in contact and let our listeners come and listen in the archives and go to your website, imnotamess.com. And until next week, Hillary, thank you. Beloved listeners, thank you. Tune in every week to Advanced Living Radio for more wonderful news for your life. And until we meet again, God bless you all, and thank you for tuning in. And goodbye for now. Let's go.